Welcome to the Speakeasy, the officially unofficial podcast for Boardwalk Empire on HBO. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And tonight we're covering Season 5, Episode 1, titled Golden Days for Boys and Girls. There's a little poem that goes along with that that we saw in the magazine. Is it a magazine? Is it a newspaper? I don't know what to call those.
I believe it's the proper term would be a periodical.
Periodical from the 1800s.
From Golden Days Monthly.
Yeah, the Nucky's mom gives him to make him feel
better. Golden Days for Boys and Girls feel like the newsletter of NAMBLA, like the National Man Boy Love Association. I'm profoundly creeped out by these poems, preaching propriety. And
I looked at some of it. It doesn't feel like it's for boys and girls. Like, that's one of the poems in there, but it's got like ads for a whole bunch of shit. It's just like your basic newspaper is now. Where you've got some stories.
I do. I feel like this is like the precursor to Highlights for Children. You know, like this has got some instructional things from the youth. It's got some probably adventure type stories. It's got some, maybe some ads for X-ray specs.
And, it has some of that, but it also has like ads for girdles and shit. Like stuff that kids would never need.
But their moms would buy.
Their moms would buy, yeah. So you get the moms hooked in the store, bring it home. Ostensibly for their kids, and they're buying girdles.
Or maybe they're just trying to sell lingerie to the kids. Again, National Men Boy Love Association. Hard at work.
All very creepy. We are hard at work producing a podcast you will enjoy.
or else.
So what did you think of the return, the triumphant return of Boardwalk Empire?
There's a lot of things I liked.
Okay.
But I'm also super scared. Because
why?
There's only seven episodes. So I'm going into this as a massive Boardwalk Empire fan. Mm-hmm. I already feel kind of snubbed because regardless of what everyone thinks and says, it feels like getting a 7-year flash forward and an 8-episode wrap-up. It feels like HBO is muscling Winters a little bit.
He says that's what he wants.
I know, but I'm saying this is my deep-seated fear as a Boardwalk Empire fan thinks the series gets not too much respect.
It
thinks
doesn't.
It's always the redheaded stepchild of HBO.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't as good as The Sopranos, and Game of Thrones is the golden boy. It's a Jaime Lannister. this is the Tyrion. Unloved, you know, except for it's crazy. It gets decent traffic, and it's always, you know, getting – I don't know.
And it's way smarter than people give it credit for. It's
got great performances. It looks like $1 million.
But it gets no respect.
And it is one of the true kind of television novels in that it really puts down a lot of tracks and a lot of deep roots that bear giant fruit at the end of the season. But you have to be patient with it.
Sure.
So I don't know. I just feel like that there's a lot of stuff happening. I didn't get a look at Al Capone.
Nope.
Chalky White was shockingly. I mean, I guess I should have known this from the previews, but he's just in a shit-ass jail situation, and no explanation of how he got there, how he got from, you know, being on his back porch.
He got caught, man. He got caught.
He got caught, and that's step one to landing in jail. But we didn't get to see Capone. I'm missing Richard Harrow, although whoever their man is in Cuba with the straight razor and the ear collection fetish.
Sure.
He could be I like the colorful hitman in the show.
Sure. No, I thought he was pretty
badass.
Seems
like a dude that can carry some weight.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people ask him, you know. Not wanting to believe that Richard Harrow is dead. Richard Harrow's dead. He's fucking dead.
He's dead. Funny because I watched I watched a marathon they had on that weekend.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the finale since I stopped. You know, I watched it twice last year. It still got me, man. Those last few scenes are just, and we haven't talked about this. I thought that was, if you got to say goodbye to Richard Harrow, that was a beautiful way to do it.
I thought so too.
Yeah. Absolutely poetic death.
Yeah. He was going to kill for this child, essentially. Ended up not being able to do it just because,
he
did do it. Yeah. And
the only thing
work.
Worse that can happen.
Yeah. He gave up his principles in order to help this child, and then it didn't work out like he wanted it to, and then he fucking died.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible for Richard Harrow. who is a character that we all kind of love, despite him being just a cold-blooded murderer.
He wasn't a cold-blooded murderer, though. I mean,
he
that's
was
the
up
thing.
Until he changed his mind.
He had a lot of heart. Even when he was a cold-blooded murderer, he had a lot of heart.
But he was cold-bloodedly killing people.
Hey, you've heard hardcore history. This man went through the meat grinder, was World War
One. He did, and that... Fuck.
Him and Jimmy.
Oof.
I forgive a lot, but from their sure. service history and record. So that's what I thought. It was a decent, entertaining, slow open for a 12-episode season that just happens to only be 8 episodes long. What did you think?
I really liked it. It was a change of pace that I felt was welcome after the kind of rough season 3 that I didn't like all that much. And season 4, you know, it extended the stories that season 3 had laid out and that kind of followed the tracks there. I'm kind of glad to jump ahead a little bit and be rid of most of that baggage. I would have been happy to see no Margaret.
Yeah.
I would have been happy to never see Margaret
again. Kind of curious about how, because it feels like her plot line has just been on pause for 7 years.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. But I was happy to see that we're going to get more with Lansky. I think Meyer Lansky is a cool character. Potentially he's mixed up in this whole assassination plot. We'll talk more about that, I'm sure, as we get to it. I liked the atmosphere of Cuba. It felt like a definite change for the show, but one that Nucky was looking for after season 4. I mean, he ran to Cuba to get away from all the horrible shit that was going on in Atlantic City. And, you know, he's still got his Florida interest. He's running rum now. A lot of it makes sense for that character to go where he did, and I think that's all I really want for this show, is to be well plotted and have strong characters. And I think we've got a lot of those, except for Margaret.
Okay. So let's get right to the the episode. It opens up with the quoting of the poem from the Golden Age, or the Golden Days, where it's, "Be honest and true, boys. Whatever you do, boys, let this be the motto of your life." Mm-hmm. I thought that was Jimmy's mom, Jillian, reading that.
Oh, and no, I'm that like, was Nucky's mom.
Okay, so because it said in the, when I turn on the subtitles, because that's how I usually take my second and subsequent viewings, I put a little cream in the coffee, put a little subtitles in my eye holes. It said it was Eleanor, which of course is his mother. So yeah, but I thought she sounded really Gretchen Molly.
Mm.
A little Gretchen Molly there. What I thought is an interesting...
Gretchen's got a thick Irish accent, though.
What?
Yeah.
Jimmy's mom?
Or no, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I'm thinking of Margaret.
No. The one in presumably jail now.
Really? You thought
women's prison.
Yeah. Where
Orange,
she belongs.
Orange is the New Black, circa 1930s.
Yeah, you were right about her just desserts, man.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Served up on a plate of cold.
Cheering the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Cold, served up on a cold Ron Livingston.
Which, again, I've gotten from the previews that she'll be in this season. And I think, how?
Why? Well, the better question, why? Who
cares? Why? Do we care 7 years from now?
No.
I'm very curious about her and Margaret and how they're going to make
this
work.
And none of the characters care either.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I got faith in Winter. But anyway,
so this poem.
And then it begins with kids, again, keeping the NAMBLA theme going, half-dressed youth swimming. I kind of thought the water effects were hokey.
Really?
Little Sam Jackson shooting dry for wet from Lord of the Rings, kind of.
Okay. I thought they looked good.
A lot of people in the Facebook thread were all about it and saying how arty and beautiful it was. I just don't know. Turns out it's the young Nucky in Atlantic City in 1884, right before Atlantic City becomes Atlantic City.
Yeah, it's a shithole.
It's a shithole. They got a boardwalk and not much else. There is a...
They have, like, part of a boardwalk.
Yeah. There's the whole thing's being constructed. They got a young Commodore making it rain. He's quote unquote giving the sea its gold, and they're gonna reap whatever. This is the first day of summer. This is the Neptune Festival that hasn't quite gotten full on blown Neptune Festival.
Yeah, it feels like they're really kicking off the city as a thing.
Yeah,
to me.
And as the scene dissolves in a Havana, Cuba, 1931. Nucky's looking out over the bay. He's seen a lot of Cuban youth swimming in concrete boxes right by the sea. I don't understand. You got the fucking ocean, man.
Sure.
Are there man-eating sharks out there I can't see? Is there any reason you'd be doing cannonballs into some ruined seawall rather than swimming the Gulf of Mexico?
There are a lot of pools in California, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but there's also literally tons of people to live away from the coast. I mean,
true.
Yeah, if you're, I guess that's, oh, I always thought that was weird that hotels have pools right by a beach.
Yeah.
But
yeah, some people don't like salt water.
Or swimming in shark-infested waters.
Or, yeah, swimming in massive bodies of water, even.
I gotta say, just from what we see, Cuba looks like a shit ton of fun pre-revolutionary times.
I want one of those shirts. The guys playing the instruments all
frill.
Are. Yeah.
It's all frill. Some people just have the frill on the collar. Sure. Some people add some frill on the cuffs.
Like, fuck it, we're going all frill.
If frill is fancy, is good. We're going to frill the shit out of these shirts. It's all frill. What do you got to say about that, gringo? Not even sure if that's actually an accurate Cuban slur. I wouldn't know. I'm forbidden to go to that country.
Yep.
What am I to do? God damn it. I need to go and see for myself, put boots on the ground and see these frilly shirts.
Put on one of those shirts, get on a flight. And
certainly. And you can't import it. It's banned. It's contraband. You can't bring those frilly shirts.
No way.
It's letting the communists win, son.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a lot of shithole, terrible tyranny of the rich over the exhausted poor. But you don't see that. You just see the fun parts of Cuba in this episode.
You kind of always see the fun parts of stuff with Nucky. When he's first getting into the swing of things, right?
Yeah, Nucky goes to North Korea. It's a holiday, you know.
He goes to Uganda. It's fucking awesome.
Right, right.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be an underbelly to this city to this country that is not.
We see that a little bit nice. In this episode.
We do some beatings in the streets. Yeah,
he's still with Patricia Arquette, who. Looks, if anything, even more bosomy than she did last year.
If that's possible, yes.
This 7 years of Bacardi and sugarcane has gone right to the tatas and the hips, and it looks good on her.
Sure.
Chalky, though, 7 years not been so kind to him. He is in a shithole prison logging gang,
yep.
I think, although they could just be collecting filth Monty Python style, Holy Grail style. He's looks kind of lame, like he's walking with a noticeable limp, although that could just be getting shoved in a box and chained. I don't know. Did you catch any of that?
I couldn't tell if he's actually hurt or if he's just got a lot of heavy chains on him.
Yeah.
I'm not sure yet.
Metaphorical and physical chains.
Yeah.
Dragging a body down.
For sure.
What'd you make of the singer that was just singing in Chalky's face, trying to get a rise out of him, it seemed like to me, throughout the episode, the one with the dent in his head.
At first, I thought it was just a guy who, despite his terrible condition in life, kept high spirits. When he threatened Chalky and kind of turned the tables, I was surprised.
Yeah, there's more.
I didn't realize that he, A, was capable of that, and B, that was going anywhere.
Well, I thought that when he talked about – when he hammed it up for the guards and, like, really played up, you know, his collar and, like, given to them exactly what they wanted. And then he kind of confided in Chalky that the reason he's in here is because caved his old man's head in because of apparently all the abuse that he suffered as a child at his hands.
Sure, caved his head in.
I'm like – certainly there's like more to this guy's character, and then it seems like by the end he might be a potential player.
He's Chalky's new Narcisse, maybe.
But it's interesting because Chalky, as far as I can tell, can't read. He's not I don't think he's literate, and he's not exactly I don't think he's much more cultured. I mean, yeah, he's talked on a telephone before, but he never felt that comfortable, like any of his own family. You know, he's like this gangster guy, and they were this from this other world.
Yeah.
But he didn't actually belong there. I wonder if there's going to be friction between him and the guy with the dent in his head about, you know, if Chalky's supposed to be this liaison role? Is that going to be a role that he's comfortable? I mean, I feel like there's going to be a lot of friction between these guys.
I think there's going to be. Chalky doesn't seem like the kind of guy who likes to play second fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly where he's set up to be at this point.
Right. We see that Nucky's meeting with this senator next in some club, and they're bitching about the Great Depression, which befell the country. They mentioned that since the stock market crash, there's been 25 billion lost in the economy. The country's currently suffering 16% unemployment.
25 billion at that point in history.
It's a lot of money.
It's devastating.
I found out that $50 was $1,200. So wow. 25 billion is a fuck ton. Metric fuck ton, even. Not even imperial.
Yeah, it's 22 times.
Yeah, and the senator's talking to, like, we're missing $900 million lost to liquor taxes every year. We've had 11 years at a Volstead. It's unenforceable law.
Yeah, bring that money in. What the fuck are we doing?
It's just, again, I don't want to derail it.
Let's do 10 minutes on the U.S. drug policy right now.
But it's kind of interesting that it took this country less than 12 years.
To realize it, yeah.
I can't remember exactly when they unratified that and redid it. But it took like less than 15 years to realize this is a fucking huge mistake. We're making the wrong people rich. We're doing terrible things to
creating criminals.
We're creating criminals. We're doing terrible things to respect the law and reverse it.
Hmm.
You know, but we're all cool with 50 plus years of this bullshit war on drugs.
Yep.
Compare and contrast the situations and colors involved.
I don't know that we're all cool with it.
No. So anyway, the senator's also uncomfortable with Nucky's past, which Nucky's like, you're right, I was arrested for having a fifth of
on the street,
and I paid a $5 fine and served a night in jail. But and that's like the only thing officially on the books with him.
Yeah.
Is this going to be a theme for him that you can't whitewash your past, or maybe you can successfully whitewash your past?
That's a really good question,
because he said that like three separate occasions he alluded to the fact that once I get this thing, it's kind of the Michael Corleone. Once I move my family out to Vegas and get all my dirty money into the clean gambling business, once I get all my dirty money into the clean Bacardi business, uh-huh, my hands will be clean. That doesn't seem like it'll work out.
No. And especially when you take into account the kind of major theme for him this episode with his childhood and how he started, trying to be honest to get ahead, and the commissioner, what's his name, Commodore, basically tell him, yeah, that's not how it works, kid.
Yeah.
You don't get ahead by being honest. You get ahead by robbing and stealing.
Certainly.
And now he's trying to go honest again.
You want to be honest and true now?
That's an interesting dilemma for him. I think that's going to cause big problems for Nucky.
Yeah, this senator, who I believe his name is Lloyd, I think that's what I wrote down later, there's another thing. We were watching this together yesterday, and I'm like, so you just give booze and money and hookers to politicians, and you just get your way.
Yep. That's how it goes.
And that still seems like how it goes based on following the news. Like, you know, we at least quarterly, it is revealed that a senator or representative is taking cashola or Horola, or Boozola, or Coca-Cola, or whatever the heck.
Private flight Ola.
Whatever the Olas that's pitched for them. Like, it's a pandemic, and no one acts outraged or surprised. It's just kind of like, tut, tut, shame on you, and we go about our business.
Yeah.
The fuck?
And nobody gets in trouble. It's because nobody's forced to take responsibility.
There's no principles.
Yeah.
Anyway, reminds me of that scene, I can't remember, but the Babe the Pig's owner, who was also the warden in the Green Mile, I can't remember this guy's name, but he's this very distinguished looking chap. He's
Babe the Pig? No.
You know what? If you've never seen Babe the Pig, I can't even make this point. This is going to be Princess Bride Part 2. We're moving on.
Good.
We next see the scene of the Wolf on Wall Street we all wanted, but we didn't get.
Yep.
It's the rah-rah speech. You can always make money on the street. We are strong. JK, LOL, bang to the head.
Yeah.
Margaret's boss, after he gives the beautiful soliloquy about Mickey Mouse making the best out of his beach experience and riding off in the sunset on a giant fucking sea turtle,
mm-hmm,
takes his gun out, blows his brains out. That's the scene. What
In this scene is the biggest problem I have with this episode and the scariest part of this season for me.
All right.
Because I was really fascinated by the idea that they set up last season, what I thought was going to happen with Arnold Rothstein, and kind of, you know, Nucky beat him in this card game. It led to his gambling getting out of control. He lost his confidence. He lost all his money. He eventually sold that life insurance policy to Nucky to get money to take some sort of revenge on this guy for stealing all his money in the housing or the property real estate market. Right? That's what happened, roughly.
You said that because I didn't see the whole season again like you did. It's fresh in your mind. Uh-huh. I believe you. That wasn't my big takeaway for season four, is that Arnold, to me, the clear...
I thought he had a plan to get revenge.
But Arnold also was on a downward spiral and had been for a couple of seasons.
I don't know how historically spoilery we want to get here. Because, you know, this is a real story.
That's the
thing. These things have happened.
I checked a minor detail on a character's name in Wikipedia, and I feel like I've almost certainly spoiled at least one major plot line in like 5 seconds. Like, it's like, okay, yeah, that's how you... Oh, my God. No! Stay. If you do not want to be spoiled, stay the hell away from all research on this show.
So I won't say anything more about Arnold Rothstein, but I really wanted to see him get revenge on this guy who I feel had taken advantage of him and caused him grief. And I thought... his stuff with Margaret saying, like, let me know when he starts selling this property. Let me know when this stock is about to turn around. I thought he had a grand plan to get revenge, but it appears now, since this guy's dead, that we may not see that.
Define revenge. If there's, you know, Arnold might just want to gotten his money back and pulled out of this guy's pocket. I don't know if it's like...
Arnold Rothstein always struck me as a guy, when you cross him, he's going to take you down.
He did kill a man with a cue ball just to watch him die for his own amusement. Dealing with a cruel man. Maybe you're right.
So that has me worried that I'm not going to get the satisfactory conclusion to the Arnold Rothstein story that I wanted.
Well, speaking of unsatisfactory, we flash back to young Nucky. He's got a sick sister, which we've made reference to in the past.
Yeah.
We see that because he's kind of walking past that, her mother's caring for it. She tries to feed him stuff and he's like, oh, actually mom, I had oysters or whatever. I feel like he's lying. Nucky's the type of industrious kid that will lie about eating so his younger brother and sister and mom can eat. That's what I got from that scene.
Could be.
But she's got something for him, the Golden Days magazine. So the NAMBLA can begin corrupting the youth.
$150 bicycle ads in that. In that thing, up to $150. That's expensive bike.
The hell, are you being serious?
In the 1880s, yeah.
That's like a Mercedes bicycle.
I know. Jesus. That was the max. They were like X to 150. But
you sure it wasn't $1.50? $1.50
sounds
right. No, $150.
It was like $15 to $150 or something. Crazy.
Insane. We then see his dad come in, and we kind of, you know, we know that he had a shitty relationship with his dad because he burnt down his... the house, and you know, we talked about the beatings, and I was really confused because it seemed like his dad was going to be an all right dude.
Seemed like it.
And
yeah.
Then he sends Eli away to check on his boots, and pretty soon he's given this, like, you know, you're my boy, and like, you know, affectionately. But then he just savagely cuffs him for apparently no reason. What was he trying to teach Nucky? Like, you should stop trying to hustle and get a real job. I'm a fisherman. Something wrong with being a fisherman, boy? Is that the kind of flavor we're getting?
I feel like it, because it was right after he told him about the dollars that he couldn't get or whatever, the coins that he wasn't quick enough to get.
Yeah, it wasn't fast enough.
So, but then he gave him the speech about being a fisherman. I don't think it was necessarily about, you know, you should have been faster, you should have got that money. It's more like... take some responsibility with your life and not try to weasel your way into money, earn it, make an honest living. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. And his mom seemed like she's just willing to turn a blind eye to all this. She clearly saw the abuse. She does nothing to stop it. She's got a sick daughter to take care of in a tough situation. We go back down to present day where Nucky's explaining to Patricia here. God damn, I can't. Her name's like Miss...
It's Sweet. Her last name is Sweet, I think.
Is it Sweet? I think it actually rhymes with Sweet. It's not quite. Maybe it's Sheet or Sleet or something. But
I don't know. I'll look it up while you...
Anyway, he's talking to Miss Sweet, and he says, look, I want everything settled and it be a done deal the day the vote goes down so I can be the first one bringing this Bacardi rum.
Smart.
To the United States. Yeah, definitely. It's the way to go. And then I'll be clean. He says it again. No matter what anybody says or what anybody thinks they know about me, I'll be clean. We see some unrest. There's some protesting going on. I'm not sure aware of the issues. I couldn't read the signs, but the police quickly put it down. Meyer Lansky's there with his wife. I love their small talk. They're just trading, like, I've seen who can trade the most empty platitude. Big bombshell dropped. They reference AR's funeral.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I was going to treat that as a spoiler, but since the episode... If you don't know, 1931, Arnold Rothstein dies in 29. He's murdered. And that murder is still unsolved at this day.
Yeah, let's not say too much about it because I'm not sure they won't go back.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit filling the details, but he's dead.
Yep.
And there's a funeral, and he's a great man and will be missed.
Willie.
Yeah, Willie. And clearly they leave. It's like, oh, yeah, we should get together. Oh, yeah, sure. And clearly have no plans to get together. Nucky doesn't think much of it. He's wondering about where the senator is, and the senator finally... wanders up. We find out that they're going to be going to meet with a Bacardi executive here pretty soon.
Yep.
We flash back and we see the old hat scam. I don't understand how this works, even though Nucky explained it in episode. But apparently there's a geophysical property of this particular stretch of road that the rich people like to carriage down. And it at a particular point in time, these people go by and it blows all the men's hats off. And the boys charge a dime to two dime ransom to return them to their owners.
Sure. Something Nucky's dad would also not approve of.
One of the Commodore's friends, who is not himself the Commodore, we think, lost a bowler hat that had $50 tucked into it, which we talked about, $1,200.
Yeah.
Tries to get Nucky to find it, offers a 20-cent reward. Nucky doesn't find it because all the kids are faster than him still. Some of them are cheating. They're elbowing ahead, and that offends his propriety. He says at one point, you know, play fair. The guy who's not the Commodore gives him two candies, and Nucky then finds the hat. It's got $50 in it.
Yep.
We then go to a scene with Chalky where one of the correctional officers, one of the guards, is asking the singer how he got the dent in his head. And he tells this supposedly be funny story about how he tried to ride an ass backwards ass, tried to ride a backwards ass backwards, and makes everybody laugh. But the upshot is Chalky wanted some water. They got water over there. The water bucket was empty. And he's then instructed to tie his boot, which is what he's been trying to do since the episode started. And he keeps getting kicked and all this shit happens.
Yeah.
Nucky's got he ate one of the candies, but he took one back to his sick sister. He mentions this one point where she asks him what the rich people are like. He's like, yeah, all they got, they're not much different. All they got, there's money and there are ways to find that, I reckon. Stop me if we get to a point where you want to.
I mean, that's what he's been trying to do all episode, right?
Find
some money.
I got to say, I'm not that super involved with. I don't understand why they are tediously showing me a bunch of things I already knew about Nucky Thompson. Like, I didn't need to be told all this backstory to understand the kind of upbringing he came from.
Yeah, the upbringing stuff is weird. Meeting the Commodore makes sense. Like, I wanted to know more about that.
Really? Do you? Because that's saying you want to know more about Jillian.
Well,
it
shows you what kind of person the Commodore was as well. It's not that, you know, Nucky has always been kind of a bad guy who's looking to get ahead on you know, cheating and illegal stuff. He's, you know, he was a kid who was trying to do things right and support and help his family. But he got corrupted by the Commodore.
And I'm assuming that this will go somewhere and make sense when we see the young man version of Nucky later on. And it'll also tie into his current story and desire to get clean. And this won't be some Anakin Skywalker bullshit where, wow, we found out a lot more about him, but we didn't really.
He can fix droids.
We took 6 hours to learn nothing new about this whole character. I hope that's not where they're going with that.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, her name is Sally Wheat.
Wheat. So yeah. It's not sweet, it's wheat. Okay, there you go.
I think they combine the first and last.
Oh, is that her nickname? Sweets? Sweet.
I think, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's better than what they were calling her in Florida, Sugar Tits.
So. Is that what they were calling her?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
A lot of misogyny back in the day.
It would have been
a lot of present day misogyny.
Cane sugar tits. They don't cane use any high fructose corn syrup back then. It's all pure cane sugar.
That sounds like a BDSM thing. I don't want to dwell too much on your filthy mind, Jim. Going back to present day, we see Lucky Luciano staking out a place in Coney Island for his boss Masseria to meet at, and that's about it for that scene. When Margaret gets called in by, is this the partner of the guy who blew his head off? Is it the actual owner of the company? That guy was the president.
Yeah, it seems like this guy.
Temporary president.
He was certainly older. It seemed like maybe he was higher up, and this had hit him just as hard.
It reminded me of the employee meeting day episode of Metalocalypse, where this person is a terrible boss that doesn't give a shit about his employees, but he knows that a good employer would. So he goes through the formalities of how are you doing, and then I was with Margaret. Is like, is she fired? Is this what she's supposed to do before she cleans out her desk? Mm-hmm. What the fuck? Why is he asking all those questions about her involvement with Mr. Bennett? Does he know that there's some dirt underneath her fingernails and he's wanting to know if she's involved?
Yeah.
Because he's like,
so.
You could always make money in the street if you don't get turned around. What turned around implies some kind of moral, ethical piece of the dilemma.
Yeah, what I assume is that this scam that they were running was not a one-off by the president or whoever this guy was.
Yeah.
The scam that they ran on Rothstein. I mean, I know it's not a one-off. They did it a couple times, but I don't think it was just this one guy, this one agent. I think it was all of their agents, probably.
Yeah, doing his hokey land scheme, real estate scam.
Yeah, and maybe somehow the crash brought about some sort of investigation into this a little bit more closely, and he was looking for the evidence in the papers that might link them to any kind of deception or anything like that.
Huh, interesting. What did you make about the whole time you found the husband? Like, you know, are you married? It's time you found the husband. Is she out of a job? What?
He seems out of it. He seems like he's just
shell-shocked.
Saying things.
Okay.
Yeah, just like.
He's dispensing life advice to this employee.
He almost doesn't realize what he's saying. He's just saying things that he would say in a situation like this, but his brain is off in other more serious matters.
Okay.
Is what I took from it.
He wants the key to the file cabinets, which Margaret did not. Do you think this is, does she really not know where the key is? Or I read that as she's delaying so she can get whatever she wants done. And we later see her scrolling around with an A Redstone, which we know Rothstein's alias last season was Abe Redstone.
Yeah.
Going back to Chalky at the logging camp and him and the dent-faced singer. Is they're talking about what they did. Chalky says he got himself caught. Dent in my head said he stove his dad's head in. Chalky this whole time is trying to fucking tie his shoe with like a quarter inch of lace, and he snaps that off. And just in time for all hell to break loose. And I the whole time I'm wondering, like, man, there's like 5 guys here with shotguns, but there's like 100 dudes with pickaxes and shovels, and they're being treated in an inhumane fashion. This might not be the smartest thing for these guards to do from a self-preservation standpoint.
Yeah.
Sure enough, they pushed the wrong guy a little bit too far, and the guy just pickaxes him right through the chest. He gets shot. Chalky grabs the fucker that's busting his balls over his shoelace, turns his shotgun on him, and the guy blows his face off.
They do that shit all the time.
Boardwalk does gruesome violence.
Like, if you've got a gun in your hand, you are more at risk than the person you have it aimed at. I swear to God.
The NRA disputes it, but I that actually might have some statistical evidence.
In this show, definitely.
Yeah, Boardwalk Empire, for sure. If you own a gun, you're far more likely to get shot by your own goddamn gun than
while
to shoot.
While it's in your own hand.
Unless your last name is Harrow. In yeah. which case, you basically have mastered gun kata.
Sure. You are in equilibrium.
Chalky grabs the keys, and he hightails it, and he's taken from behind. Wait. That sounds like a little slash fiction-y.
Dentface?
Dentface takes him from behind.
Oh.
Dentface tackles him from the rear. That's a little better.
No.
Puts him in a full anal Nelson. Sure.
Full Van Analden.
He wants to know if he talks on the phone. And I love Chalk's reaction. He's like, huh? He's like, what?
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, how do they get the voices in that tiny box?
Yeah.
Electricity. All right. You pass my test. You will be my number two. I got a house full of cash. I want to split with you. Mm-hmm. And apparently it sounds like a good deal because they both have their chains. Chalky's going shoeless, apparently.
Yeah, one shoeless.
He'll be shoeless white for the rest of the for the season. We'll see.
I was shocked by where Chalky was in this episode. At the end of last season, he ended up, you know, on the run for his life.
I thought he was just going to take over that old dude's gang, though.
I thought so, too.
Keep
but
rolling.
Then there was a shootout at the very end of the season where some people came up to that house and started
killing
people.
That was before the showdown at the Onyx. I mean, the last time we saw him, he was sitting on that old man's porch with his dudes on the porch with him, and he was just looking, and he looked hard. His face looked like you could split diamonds. Like, he was just staring off, pissed as hell into the distance, and that's the last we saw him. No,
yeah, I don't know how you get from there to where he is.
7-year time jump. Well, that's the flashback I'm wanting to see.
Yeah, me too.
I can do without young Nucky swimming in his underwear. I want to see
some Chalky. I want some Rothstein.
Some Chalky flashbacks.
Yeah.
Nucky is meeting with the head Bacardi guy. He's some Bacardi owner, executive. He's talking about Cuba's always been known for rum, but there's a lot of unrest. We're trying to open up a plant in Mexico. And this whole time, Chalky Luciano. Chalky is the Nucky Chalky slash fic I'm going to be writing at the end of the season. But Nucky is...
Where does Lucky fit in? Chalky, Nucky.
Fuck you, man.
Lucky and Chalky.
The whole time, Nucky's trying to get Senator Lloyd to carry his water from him. And Senator Lloyd acts like he has three giant holes in the bucket.
Oh, my God. What a dumbass.
So
it's not that he's being dumb. It's that he doesn't want to do business with Nucky, right?
Well, I don't know. Because later on when he's, like, bitching out Nucky, it seems like... Even today, with as few protections we have to stop corruption in government, the one bright line is you cannot promise to vote a particular way for any kind of favor. So if he's down there and he's like, look, I can't promise the outcome of the vote. I don't even know if the outcome will go the way you're wanting. And you're like putting, you know, all these words in my mouth and like, who's going to hold me responsible and what are you getting me in bed with? And also, you're a fucking gangster. I think there's all of that going into this conversation, but it's not impressing the Bacardi guy very much.
No, shouldn't.
That was my interpretation that it made Chalky, it made Nucky look very small time. And even he said kind of a nod about like, you know, every man should have an exit plan. A man like yourself should know that. Like, you need a plan B because this plan A is not going the way you think it is.
Yeah. And Nucky's got to know that going in, right? He's not going to sell this guy with a plan that isn't for sure.
Is some of this hesitation, because there's a theory going around that this hit on Nucky that we're about to talk about mm-hmm. is all engineered by Meyer Lansky.
Sure.
And Lucky Luciano, that they're trying to muscle.
Still working together.
And they're trying to box Nucky out of this exact same plan. And that's the reason why the senator's being oddly hesitant, because he's getting paid from both sides. It's the reason the Picardy guy was kind of like knowing and familiar with him. It's a reason that he almost got killed.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what stake they have in Atlantic City at this point.
And why would Meyer go to the trouble of setting up a fake wife? Why would he bump into Nucky if there was an assassination attempt going to be made?
Why not just let it play out without him being involved whatsoever?
Yeah, and setting up the whole comedy with, you know, pretending he's got a wife and all that stuff. I don't know, but there is something there. Hmm. We go to a brief scene of Margaret looking for Abe Redstone's file, finding it, and then she magically says she has the key to the thing after she finds that. Tells me there's something in that file that will impact her or Arnold's estate, something, right? You got any predictions there?
I don't have any predictions. I don't know what could possibly be in those files other than records that they cheated Rothstein somehow.
Yeah, it doesn't
but
seem like...
at this
like,
point, he's dead. Who
and
really cares?
And Margaret wouldn't help them cheat Rothstein. It'd be the opposite. So.
Yeah. I mean, maybe she's going to get the files to see what exactly
is she
was
hunting
going
for
on,
a pot and... of gold that might be still hanging around, or is she trying to save her skin? Because she's got her hands dirty.
She does. She is mixed up in all this. I feel like this was more exploratory.
Because one thing I thought is like, okay, so maybe Arnold, maybe Abe and this other dude were working together kind of off the books on these shady deals, and Abe/Arnold had slowly gotten the better of him because he made smart purchases and buys. Then Abe gets killed. So maybe these things are just kind of like these accounts are still active. They've been making money. And Margaret knows about it, but now that this guy's dead, she's going to be able to assume his account somehow.
I don't know.
Like, get rich again? And then what will that – I mean, again, how do they get her back in with Nucky? Because that's the only reason that makes sense, right?
It would be, yeah. Yeah, because now that Rothstein is gone, who cares?
She buys all that land in Florida and Cuba and gives it to the church.
Builds a road through it and gives it to the church, yeah. I'm with you there. So the way they left Rothstein and Margaret last season is Rothstein had made her an offer and said – go ahead and buy the apartment, the fancy apartment
I'm going to provide. Basically, I'm going to provide you a comfortable life.
But she clearly didn't leave this place. So was the offer not for her to actually leave this place, but to just help him?
No. Yeah, I think she was going to tip him off in advance about what things were going on in the market so that he could maximize. I mean, that's a huge, it's insider trading.
Sure.
There's a reason that's illegal.
Yeah, yeah.
But also something that would appeal to a guy like AR. Mm-hmm. Where are we at here, man? Going back to New York, where Luciano is prepared for his boss, Mazzaria, to come in. I'm kind of surprised that their relationship has lasted this long, because Luciano has mostly open contempt for this guy for all of last season, and now 7 years, it doesn't seem like there's been any thaw. There's this war going on with Maranzano. Mazzaria doesn't want to hear anything about it.
I don't know who Maranzano is.
That's Don Salvatore. That's what I looked up on. Wikipedia. Got spoiled. Either. He's the guy who's part of the ceremony that we're going to see with
the guy
Luciano. Yeah.
Okay.
He's the boss of the boss. His name is Salvatore Maranzano. But Mazzaria doesn't want to hear about any kind of deal. Doesn't want to entertain Luciano's talking about how he can fix this. What do you think if Mazzaria could have saved himself at this point, if he'd been open and that Luciano was deciding who he's going to fuck over?
No, I think that was pretty much set in stone at that point. I think that you know, it didn't seem like he could have made like a phone call. A phone call wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, because the guys were already like, they're kind of running late, which is why I felt like that Luciano was almost pissed that it took him so long to get there. But anyway, he's dead. It's all Don Salvatore all the time from here on out. Flashback. It's young Nucky. They're at the corner. Hotel. He's got this hat that he's going to give back to this guy. By the way, Corner Hotel, total shithole.
Sure.
The boardwalk at this point, you can see it kind of under it's all it's this is all before Atlantic City became Atlantic City.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like the Ritz-Carlton in the beginning of this series is the only really nice thing on the boardwalk.
The Onyx.
Okay, yeah, and maybe the Onyx Club. But 35 years before that, I could totally see it being this horrible shithole with a half-built boardwalk and two really shitty San Francisco Gold Rush-style buildings.
And you can hear him talking about, like, they're going to lay tracks here and they're going to have roads and all this other stuff. Yeah. But he goes and takes this guy who's not the Commodore his hat back. And the guy said, tries to give him the $50, and the kid, Nucky says, that's too much. And the guy's like, compared to what? The Commodore steps in and said, did you know this was here before you gave it back? And he's like, yeah. He's like, why didn't you want to keep it? And he said, I want to get myself ahead. So he just takes the money and says, beat it, basically. Get the fuck off my porch. Doesn't seem like Nucky. Yeah. It seems like Nucky got a hard lesson taught in life. That being honest and true is not all there is for boys.
For sure.
Not after hunting for gold. Flashback to the present in Cuba, or the show's present. Nucky and the senator need to talk. The senator's just dressing him down about not being his whipping boy. Nucky does not give a fuck. He's more interested in bringing along this little Cuban hustler who's been selling him gambling books, I think. Kind of horse race bets or something.
I think.
Maybe it's lottery, like numbers.
Him 25 pesos?
Well, I thought it was sheets or something. It's some kind of gambling thing because...
No, it is. He pays him money for them.
Yeah.
25 somethings. Dollars, pesos, whatever.
Right, but he's trying to, like, bring this kid up the way maybe he was brought up not really giving a shit about what the senator has to say. Then out of nowhere, this guy attacks him with a fucking machete. Tries to cut him down like so much sugarcane. Nucky surprisingly holds the man off, but the guy gets the upper hand and is about to take his head off his shoulders when Gus Fring's grandpappy comes swinging into action, breaks the man's arm, buries that machete halfway into the guy's skull, and then whips off his ear, throws it in his pocket, and disappears into the smoke.
Yeah.
Fucking badass.
Definitely. What's this guy's deal with ears? Like necklace of ears, Daryl Dixon style?
Yeah. And apparently before Gus and that family got involved in the Pinochet regime, they were badass Cuban enforcer / bodyguards.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool. You get to know that piece of family history. Jim, this next scene is all about your people. I don't understand how chubby Italian boys wearing dresses and getting dollar bills thrown at them like they're strippers. The Italian meatballs. I don't see how that stuffed sausage a made man makes. I don't see how. How many times do you got to knife your hand as an Italian? I mean,
it's once for every person in that room.
How many slices per palm do you average on a year, just give or take?
Oh, it's 40 to 50 at least.
All right, okay.
Once every few days, yeah.
Okay, I just feel like there's got to be so much scar tissue. Do you even have feeling in your right hand?
No, that helps, though.
You can use your right hand like the stranger. You don't even have to switch to your left to get that effect.
Yep.
All right, okay. So this is Lucky getting made into Don Salvatore's family. Don Salvatore is now the boss of bosses. He's the head of the whole Italian mafia.
Living it up in the precursor to the Olive Garden.
They're gonna make a lot of money together, and everybody seems
pasta.
Everybody seems totally on board with this.
Yep.
We then go back to Cuba. Nucky's recovering. He's at the police station where apparently this has all been reported, and the captain of the police seems like he's trying to work him over, make this big speech, soften him up for something. And Nucky's just like, "How much?"
He's quick.
How much to make this all go away? I'm tired of talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Flashback to him trying to help a lady out of a wagon. This seems like another little boy scam that's played in Atlantic City. Another kid completely cock blocks him or palm blocks him and he gets the quarter instead, and Nucky's not having it. Mm-mm. This is his falling down moment. He goes and fucking takes this kid, and another taking from behind, another full anal Nelson, and he just beats this kid's face to a pulp. Until the Commodore breaks it up, right? The Commodore has his goon, mm-hmm. his sheriff's goon, break this thing up. And he says, look, you thought you were going to get something with this being honest trick yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. And then he says, turns on a dime, says, everything goes through me in this town, big and little. Everything down from you boys' scams to dock workers' bullshit, anything else is bad for business. Here's a broom. There's some sand. Here's a dollar. You work for me now, kid. Where the fuck did that come from? What about this interaction and Nucky's honesty and his charity and his sense of justice makes this gangster hustler Baron of Atlantic City want him on his team? I don't quite get it.
I feel like the Nucky before he meets the Commodore in person may not have attacked the kid. He was kind of fed up playing the honesty game after the Commodore told him that's not how you get ahead. So Nucky took that to heart, I think, and went after this kid the next time he tried it. And then the Commodore sees that Nucky can take a lesson that he's given him, and decides to hire him. That's what I think happens there.
So you've seen a lot more Commodore than me and Reese, because you just did a complete series rewatch in the last month.
Sure.
It's been a season or two since I've been exposed to the man, the myth, the legend, the Commodore. A lot of people, it seemed like it was a requirement if you're reviewing this episode of Boardwalk Empire to mention that the actor playing the young Commodore is doing a bang-up impression of Dabney Coleman. I didn't get that. In fact, for the longest time in the episode, I couldn't tell whether the guy losing the bowler hat to $50 was the Commodore or the walrus mustache man is the Commodore.
Here's the thing. I thought $50 bowler man was the Commodore.
Me too.
Just doing a very bad Commodore. Until I saw the real Commodore, I was like, yeah, that's the fucking Commodore. That's exactly him.
Because I thought bowler hat man with the $50 in the tall weeds with Nucky, where I thought he might get molested because he's he's paired him off
going
into
the weeds,
threatening him, and here's some candy and
full anal Nelson.
Can't get away from the NAMBLA theme.
No, you can't.
Hopefully they won't try to sponsor the podcast. That would be I can't take that money.
No.
But seriously, I don't know. Maybe I'm not that steeped in Dabney Coleman lore.
No, it's really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go back and watch a couple episodes from like season two, I guess, and you'll see.
It's I need to see him just with a gallon of shoe polish in his hair.
Yeah.
Before I really see how uncanny the improvisation.
Yeah, go look at him before his stroke and man, pre-stroke. Dabney Coleman. Yeah.
Okay.
I just said Dabney Coleman. By the way,
full anal. That's what you get when you get a full anal Nelson. It results in a Dabney colon.
You gotta go to the doctor for that.
Yeah, there's that's the only way. You got to go under the knife once you get Dabneyed. So we're going back to Cuba, and we see Miss Wheat and Mr. Thompson. They're talking about what their man Ronis did to that guy's ear. He starts to kind of maybe show some signs of regret or feeling like, you know, feeling sorry for himself, feeling like he's lost his way, quoting the Golden Boys or Golden Days or the NAMBLA monthly. Yep. And, she says, hey, you know, don't look back on any of this. It doesn't do any good. He wants to spend the night with her. She said, nope, sorry. I already got a Cuban hottie waiting in the room for me. You got to find your own. He looks around and sees Mrs. Langsey and finds out that that's not actually the Mrs. Langsey. It's actually just some garden variety Cuban whore.
Yeah. Yeah. Not his wife at all.
The wheels are turning. He's like, what? How am I getting fucked
I'm
over
curious
by this
what that
guy?
Means. There's no resolution to that at all here, right?
We're
not actually told what it means. We're just left to speculate. I think.
Yeah, no, he's kind of thinking, how is Meyer trying to fuck me again? But the wheels are turning. I don't think we or him are supposed to know exactly how this all fits together, except for this is a weird thing. Why is he there? Why is he pretending that this woman's his wife?
Yeah.
We don't know. We end on a flashback with Nucky back at home. Eleanor is doing another reading of Bright Honor and Labor and Truth to Neighbor and all that bullshit from the golden days. As Nucky sees his father fretting over his sister, you kind of feel a little empathy. I mean, his father's still a bastard. You shouldn't beat your kids, but they're showing, if not excusing, explaining why he might be so angry and bitter with some of the hands he's been dealt with. And that's the close of the episode. So we'll have to see how all this plays. There's only 7 more episodes to go. It feels like, you know, we got a mid-season sense of urgency and a preseason start. Little nervous. We'll see how it goes. Not much in the way of feedback, which is not surprising since this is the first episode and we only got the feed going last Friday. In fact, it's not even up on iTunes. Mm-hmm. But once we get all that swinging, you can do that. You can give us feedback at boardwalk@baldmove.com. Of course, you can always follow along with our show threads on facebook.com/baldmove, and you can talk to Jim on Twitter @baldmove. If you're looking for ways to support us, if you like the podcast, you like to keep them flowing, keep them flowing free, a couple ways you can do that. Of course, Amazon affiliate link at amazon.baldmove.com always works. It transmutes Amazon dollars to Bald Move love. It's an amazing little engine we've built. You can also go to subbable.com/baldmove. All the ladies you're shaking down for quarters, all the sugar hats you're ransoming back to gentlemen for 20 cents. Throw it there, and you can exchange that for some issues of Golden Days for boys and girls. We got a surprising backlog of those we need to move, and other Bald Move memorabilia and custom content opportunities, phone calls, video casts, custom podcasts. Check it out. And if you can't do any of that stuff, you can also just tell your friends and family about Bald Move. Share us on social media. Rate us and review us on iTunes. Again, iTunes is still... our iTunes link for this show is still going through moderation. As soon as it's finished, I'll post it on Facebook, and Jim will post it on Twitter. We'll also post it in the show notes. We need those ratings and reviews to help us climb to the top, and thank you in advance for all that. Hey, one last thing before we go. Our buddy Jesse Wilson of Personal Arrogance fame, one of our best buds in the whole world, is doing a Kickstarter to fulfill his life dream of opening a brewery. We did a little interview with him and his wife, who's also his business partner, that we're going to put at the end of our podcast this week as a way to help draw attention to his cause. If you're a fan of good beer or the Bald Move family, give this a listen. And I put a link in the show notes if you want to check out his Kickstarter and see how you can help.
Yeah, it's something we're kind of sympathetic to, you know, having struck out on our own with this podcasting thing.
It would make me nothing happier than to see my buddy brewing beer. And it's not like this is a pipe dream. He is a brewing professional. So is his wife. I would love for him to come up with a Bald Move brew yonder. Jim and I are backers of this project. So we believe in it personally. But check it out. I think it's interesting. And we will see you next week. Joining us on the podcast now is our good buddy, Jesse Wilson, and his wife, Tasha. And if you don't know it, they do a podcast for us, Personal Arrogance, on the Bald Move Network. And Jesse's one of our best buddies. In fact, you are closer to me than my actual flesh and blood brother. You have put me up on your couches on multiple occasions when I've visited Seattle. You have plied me with many a free beer. You've been a real mensch and a real friend to Jim and I. And we are super excited because you've got some really exciting news vis-a-vis a brewery you're trying to kickstart. And we want to give you a little time on our podcast to talk about that.
Thanks, man. Yeah, Tasha and I are kickstarting a brewery that hopefully will be located in Bremerton, Washington. It's called Lovecraft Brewing Company. And you can find that on Kickstarter by, if you just search Lovecraft, it's the first thing that pops up. And we have a Facebook page. If you look up Lovecraft Brewing Company, you'll find that. So it's real exciting. It's a lot of work, and we got a long way to go, and we need all the support we can get. So if you donate, we have a bunch of cool donation levels. Like, what are some of the stuff you like, Tosh?
I think the hoodie is probably one of my favorite things. And we have lots of really cool artwork done by Eric Walquist, who's very talented.
Yeah, Personal Arrogance fame.
Yeah. And we have pint glasses and even a handmade sign that I made on my pottery wheel. So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, Bald Move our backers, by the way. We
are. I'm getting that hoodie.
We get hoodie, right. I'm getting the t-shirt. So.
All right.
So Lovecraft Brewing Company, how'd you come up with the name?
Well, I've been a big Lovecraft fan, a fan of the writer H.P. Lovecraft for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I also love craft beer. And so I kind of just put two and two together and sort of portmanteaued it into Lovecraft Brewing Company. So it's definitely, we have a lot of nerdy origins, but we're trying to like cloak it so that the normal people are like, oh, they just love craft brewing.
Ah, that's nice how it works out. And you guys, it's like, you're not Johnny Come Lately's on the Lovecraft train. You guys have been talking about that on your podcast. You guys host the annual Pubcraft Love Crawl, or is it the Love?
The HP Pubcraft Love Crawl, HP Lovecraft theme pub crawl in Seattle every year.
I can tell you struggled saying that.
So. It's a bit of a tongue twister.
Congratulations getting through it. Seriously.
You take a hit to your sanity every time you say it. Now, if people are backing, they're like, what confidence can they have that Jesse and Tasha can actually deliver on this promise of making tasty beer?
Well, that's actually one thing that separates us from a lot of other brewery upstarts on Kickstarter is the fact that between Tasha and I, we have over 7 years experience in the brewing industry.
Mm-hmm.
So we already know how to make great beer, and it's just a matter of doing it for ourselves instead of doing it for someone else.
What kind of flavors and stuff are you guys targeting to on your release?
Well, we have a really great IPA to start out with. And we also do a couple different blends of Belgian-style beer with Brettanomyces, so it's nice and has a nice bite to it in a good way, and tart, sweet.
Yeah, it's a nice tart flavor from. We use two strains of yeast, including a Belgian wild yeast strain, so it gives it a very distinct flavor, as well as we're going to use Northwest ale yeast for our IPA, for a nice traditional IPA.
Natasha, you have some distilling experience. Is this something that potentially you guys would be willing to get into if the beer part was successful? Would you guys get to still out, start brewing some shine?
Or most definitely. That's something we want to do in the future. It takes a lot more. It costs a lot more to do distilling, and you don't get as much profit out of it. So it'll be something down the line, but I definitely would like to do that.
Yeah, okay. Totally. We just checked out a place today for the potential brewery, and it's already sprinkled.
Yep, which is very big.
Nice. Anything else that you'd like the potential backers to know?
Yeah, I just want to let everyone know that we are truly embracing the spirit of independence here, which is why we need your support. We can't do this without you. We had someone on the podcast who called in and was all gung-ho about it and was like, even if the Kickstarter fails, just do it anyway. But there's not really any just doing it anyway. So we really, really need all the help we can get. And we appreciate every dollar that comes through. So please, check out the Kickstarter. And if you see something you like, please donate.
Yeah, and feel free to ask us more questions online. We have our information at the Kickstarter. So if you have any other questions.
And to help you guys find it, we're going to include a link to their Kickstarter and Facebook on all the show notes that we're running this for this week. When is the – how I know because we're going to run this right this next week, and then we're going to probably run it closer towards the end of your campaign. How long do they have to support you guys? When is your campaign closing?
It closes in 52 days, so just at the end of October basically.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's October 27th.
All right. So just a reminder for everybody to get there and support Jesse and Tasha. I'm super excited for you guys. I wish you guys all the best. My fondest fantasy would be on my next trip out to Washington. I get a tour of your guys' brewery and make a little nip of those brews.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds great.
All right. Well, thanks for having on. Do you got anything else, Jim?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.